Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
He didn't even tell Russell Westbrook he was... And whatever you think of Russell Westbrook, you gotta tell him.
You gotta tell him.
Yes. I mean, he's the villain in the piece. Yeah. Why should Oklahoma City treat him
exactly. The scorned lover should bend over backwards to make the cuckold feel better? Come on, that's insane.
If you're Oklahoma City, yes, you should.
Yeah, no.
They did exactly what they should do.
No.
You don't treat your husband worse than that.
Well, I might.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser.
Plausibly live from an undisclosed location on the third floor in Chevy Chase, Maryland. We're on the air with Chris Saliza and Gary Braun and Michael Kornheiser. Nigel will run the board. Nigel will do the news. We have Richard Justice coming up in a little while. And I want to explain how this show works. We start taping at about 8 o'clock in the morning. It drops at 11 o'clock Eastern. It drops at 8 o'clock Pacific. And we tape around 8 o'clock, and that's when we start. We get in here between 7:30 and 7:45. And at about 7:45, we have two televisions on. One is tuned to MSNBC, and one is tuned to NBC. That's all we got right now.
Really knocking down the fourth wall here.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to explain this, because I look up, and on NBC, at about 7:45,
right. They
go to, and now we have no sound on, and we have no crawl. So you just have what is on the screen, and you sort of figure out what's going on, but you look for the headlines as they go across the screen. And they show this fabulously, fabulously gifted, dogged reporter, Richard Engel on NBC. Yeah. I mean, this guy.
That guy's amazing.
This guy.
Fearless.
This guy is great.
I mean, he's been kidnapped.
This guy is great. I met him once.
That'd be it for me. That'd
I met
be a
him.
Good career.
I introduced myself. He had no idea who I was because he doesn't live here. He has no idea. And he was very dismissive of me. And you know what? It was deserved because he's great.
You're huge in the Arabian Peninsula.
Yeah, we all agree that he's great.
Yes.
So he's on TV and underneath, well, he's talking. And underneath it says, Tomb of Jesus Unveiled. Tomb of Jesus Unveiled. This is 7:45. And I say here what I will say to you. I go, you know, I would have thought that leads the show.
It feels like a 701 kind of story.
I mean, they've already done weather. They've already done Paul Manafort.
Cooking segment.
Yeah, they had the North Korea missile blow up. But to me, if you've got Jesus's tomb and you're in the second hour, you must think, A, our show is loaded, or B, we need a new producer.
Well,
we got a big show.
This is a lot. Tomb of Jesus, to me, is a big deal.
The tomb has been there for a while. I think it could wait till 7:45.
That's a very good point. It's waited thousands of years.
Right, seed block story at best.
Yeah. If that ended up with Carson Daly, I would have thought,
wow. If they find Geraldo and Al Capone in there.
I mean, just...
Coming up, we've got puppies in studio and something about Jesus.
So that's what happens when you have no sound and you have no crawl and you look up and you see Tomb of Jesus.
Was there a chance it was a different Jesus, not Jesus Christ?
Could have been Jesus.
Yeah, or Jesus from Lebowski.
Could have been from Big Lebowski.
So true, John Turturro.
He's a pedophile.
I just thought that was
8-year-olds, dude.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
I just looked up an NPR. It says Tomb of Jesus is restored in Jerusalem, which is a restoration team Monday announced the completion of a historic renovation of one of Christianity's...
I thought I read unveiled.
Sounds like a Madame Tussauds deal.
I think they unveiled the restoration.
Yeah,
like they made it pretty.
Oh.
Bigger
okay.
story would be if the ladder in front or at the high part of the church had been moved. There is a ladder that has not been moved for hundreds of years.
You have been there.
I have been there.
Is this the Church of the Holy Sepulchre that you've been to?
Yes, I can confirm that.
Okay. It's one of the world's oldest churches, a 12th century building sitting on a 4th century remains in Jerusalem's old city. I mean, cool. I came up with that. I'm not reading.
But Michael, you've been there.
I have been there, and I will say this. I feel like I've seen a lot of tombs of when I did my week trip through Old Jerusalem and then through Bethlehem. And every moment you're walking down into an antechamber and you feel like, okay, this is historical. And then you just queue up for another line and you go into a cave a little bit deeper. Mm. And you know you finally hit the right spot when there are old women on their hands and knees crying. And you just sort of say, I'm gonna give you this space.
Yeah, yeah,
this
yeah.
seems a
yeah.
little
Take your
more
moment.
Important to you.
Yeah. So. Wow. Well, this looks, I'm looking at the pictures. It looks very, very cool. And they had it all blocked off. So I think that's
so it's
why
restored.
It was a it's 745 restored. Story.
Now, do they have chocolates on the pillow?
And like now?
And
can you sleep in it? Can you rent it out?
You know, I don't know. It's a two bathroom
situation. Yeah.
That's right, the question. So, but again, I'm looking up and it's 7:45 and it says Tomb of Jesus. Wow. It's like later. Not as important as
Caps must be hot.
Yeah. We're speculating on whether or not we blew up the North Korean missiles, and that's more important
latest
than this.
In spring styles. You later.
Right. So anyway.
Founder of religion.
Time to get in bikini shape.
What did I do yesterday? So there's nothing to talk about in terms of sports. So I will tell you that what I did for dinner last night. So I know everybody is curious about what
we were wondering. We were just talking about that. Yes,
Gary and I were talking about that off air.
What do you think Tony did for dinner last night?
Adam Schefter.
I have a guess it involves Chad's.
It does, eventually.
Schefter.
Adam
huge Twitter
Schefter
following.
Was supposed to be down in Washington yesterday. He will be down today. There is a Wizards-Hawks game at Wizards Land.
Oh, and
he's going to do sideline.
Okay.
Oh, now, cool. I was told he would be down yesterday, so I said through an intermediary, I'll take him to dinner. I'll take him to dinner at Chance. You know, I'll put him at the Brian Windhorst table. You know, I'm happy to do that. Well, I got a note 2 days ago that he would not be down yesterday. Well, Reale is here. Reale is here all week. And it is a joy, a tremendous joy for me that Tony Reale is here because I just love him. And I think our show was the best it ever was when Tony Reale was active in our show. I understand why he went to New York to raise a family in New York, and that's fine. But I miss him terribly, so I'm really glad that he's back. So I said to Reale, I'll take you to dinner, so why don't we go to dinner? And then during the filming of PTI yesterday and a little bit after, Jay Williams is doing it this week. Do you know who Jay Williams is?
Yeah.
Jay Williams, a former Duke player, former Chicago Bulls player, very much younger than I. Very, like,
is
30.
He's in his or mid-30s at the
yeah,
most,
34,
right?
Yeah, 34,
35. Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's that old.
Very much younger than I. He's doing the show, and I was asked, is it okay to do this? Because I have trepidation about who I do the show with when Mike is away, and I'm very concerned about the optics, as people say, of the look, that I'm so much older than somebody, and I'm yelling at them, and they're yelling at me, and it's just not very good. But I liked his work. I mean, I've seen him do college basketball, and I like his work. This is strange to me. Do you know that he's about 34, 35?
30, so 35.
He was drafted in like 2001 or 2002 or something.
He was drafted by the Bulls, very high.
2002.
He was the overall two pick.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was outstanding
in
college.
He was the overall two pick, and then he got
terrible accident.
He was in a motorcycle accident.
That's right.
And it ended his career.
Yes.
And you don't even remember, you know, because shortly after that, Derrick Rose went to the Bulls, and so much was made of Derrick Rose.
Yeah, maybe 3 years after.
That Jay Williams gets completely lost. So now he's out of basketball, and he's specializing in college basketball for ESPN. And I don't say this about everybody. He's good. He's good. And so we were doing the show, and I really enjoyed his company. I said, hey, why don't you come with us? He's got a friend here, Dre, who's with him. I said, come on, I'll take you all out. I'll take you all out to dinner.
I own this place.
So I do. And Jay Williams was so excited because he's with somebody who's one of the owners of Chance.
Sure.
So we walk in, we get a good table. We do get a good table. Of course we're going to get a good table.
Yeah.
I call in advance.
Good crowd on Tuesday?
Pretty good crowd. Pretty good crowd for Tuesday. The bar and the guy Dre, who's Jay's guy, has been in the bar business for 10 or 12 years in New York. And immediately when he walked in, he went, you're right, it's like Cheers. It's really, he likes the,
right.
the bar.
Yeah, right in the front.
It's a really
there.
Good bar. So it made me happy to do this. I bring this up only because I don't have anything else to talk about.
No. Yeah.
But it made me happy.
What'd you
do
have?
This.
Pot roast?
No, I had last night, I had a new item on the menu. I had the organic veal chop. Or like organic pork chop. Organic pork chop. Yeah. And it was fine. Good. It was good. So I was very happy to do that.
Do you know who the number one? I just looked this up because I was super interested. Do you know who? So he was two. Do you know who number one was in that draft? 2002. A name that we very much know.
Michael Oluwakandi.
Yes. No, I'm sorry. The correct answer is L.J. Peak. No. Do you know who the number one pick was in that draft?
Wasn't LeBron.
No. Yao Ming.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a terrible draft. Yao Ming, Jay Williams, Mike Dunleavy Jr. was three.
Still in the league.
Drew Gooden, Nicholas Schicksteville.
Right.
DeJuan Wagner. Remember him from Memphis?
Yeah, Milt Wagner's kid. He scored 100 points in high school.
Milt Wagner's kid. Yeah. Nene.
Yeah. Well, Nene's still in the league.
Chris Wilcox.
Not still
from Maryland.
Had a long career, though.
Amari Stoudemire.
Had a good career.
Until he got hurt. Caron Butler had a very good career.
Wait, so why is this a terrible draft?
Because they're all... I mean, Jay Williams never really played. He got an accident. Yao Ming's career was cut drastically short by injury. Mike Dunleavy Jr. is the third pick in the draft. He's a role player.
All of these other people you've just mentioned, Amari Stoudemire was an all-star. Caron Butler was an all-star.
It was 15 years ago.
You should have cut this list short.
Yeah.
I guess I'm wrong then.
No, I think you might be wrong. I think you might be wrong.
DeJuan Wagner went 6. Drew Gooden went 4. I mean, those are normally picks that are, you assume those are like multi-year potential all-stars.
Like Otto Porter.
Oh, I was waiting for that.
People make mistakes.
Yeah. People like that soccer mistakes. Goalie.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to turn my mic off.
I'm sure you know about the soccer goalie who killed from Brazil, who killed and dismembered his wife and fed her to his dog.
Yep.
You haven't heard the story?
Yes.
And then was sentenced to like 22 years in jail, but now is out on a legal technicality. And
name
was
is Titus Andronicus.
And is signed and now playing goalie for a team in Brazil, and he conducted an interview.
Now playing goalie for a team in Brazil?
Hasn't even denied his involvement. He said, and I'm quoting, "Dude, what happened.
Yeah.
People made mistakes.
I made
a mistake. It's time to get over it and get on with our lives." Yeah, I can't believe you didn't hear the story.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
People make mistakes. Yeah. I mean, sure, I guess.
Wait. Killed, dismembered, and fed to the dog?
Correct. Yep. Dogs. Rottweilers. Yeah.
And now he's...
Guy makes OJ look like...
Now he's playing goalie for a team?
Yeah, he got out, as Gary said, got out on like some sort of legal technicality.
Would not be in the NFL.
But his official position is basically like, get over it. I made a mistake. Cut a brother some slack. I'm not a bad person. That's what he said. I just made a mistake. Everyone makes mistakes. I made a bad mistake.
Well, at least he said it was a bad mistake.
He did when pressed.
Wow, no, yeah. I'm not.
Jay Williams, sneaky tall?
No, I would say no.
He's like 6'2".
Yeah, 6'2".
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He wasn't big.
He's not big, no.
He was so good in college.
He was.
Holy cow.
If I remember correctly, he was sort of at the tip of the spear in that Duke comeback against Maryland, that 10-point deal there.
He really likes Gary Williams, by the way. They got to know each other over time. I will say this about
he was a great college player.
He averaged 21.6 in his he left after his junior. 21.6 in his sophomore year, 21.3 in his junior.
So pretty good. So because I am so old, he treats me, you know, like Confucius. I mean, he treats me with respect and he's humble around me, which is very, very nice. And he wants... This is the interesting thing to me, and this is praise for Jay Williams or anybody who's in this position. He actually wants to get – he understands he's not going to be a basketball player anymore.
No.
He wants to get better at this and is open to coaching, which all the great players are.
Yeah.
Open to coaching. How should I do this? If I begin this way, will that work? Is there anything you want me to do here? You know, can you help me – can you help me frame this argument? And that's
great players are also the kind of guy who are both open to coaching and take it and then move, like can adjust. You know what I mean? Like they are able to adjust.
But not every former athlete thinks he has to get better.
Right.
Because a lot of them think they're great as they are.
Right.
So this is very nice to work with. Now,
but I should caution Jay Williams. He should not talk to you like you're John Wooden. You're more like the veteran long snapper who's been dragged along for multiple Super Bowl rings.
I have no particular talent.
Right. I mean, I like that he's open to coaching. I'm just not sure he should be
open with
Ryan
Holman and Keller.
He's talking to
Ryan. Well, that makes
sense.
He's
open with Ryan Holman and Keller. Yeah,
those guys
want to get better.
Those guys know what they're doing.
Does he, this is a weird question, but does he have any kind of limp or anything? Or does he walk
smoothly? No, it doesn't seem to.
I mean, I remember how bad it was.
Accident.
He crashed his motorcycle into a street light at an intersection. He severed the main nerve in his leg, fractured his pelvis, dislocated 3 ligaments in his left knee, including the ACL. I mean, it did a bang-up, terrible thing to his leg.
I believe it ended his career.
Yeah.
Two great Duke guards. Yes. Bobby Hurley. Yes. And he was great.
Yeah, he was great in college.
Bobby Hurley and Jay Williams.
And you saw, Bobby Hurley was in the crowd all over.
With his brother and his dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought Bobby Hurley not wearing a seatbelt in Sacramento, thrown from the car.
And didn't future wizard Mike Poplawski show up at that scene and like turn the car over?
The Bobby Hurley one?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was trying to explain to my older son. Because they kept showing Bobby Hurley in the crowd, and my kid is like, who is that? Yeah. And I tried to explain, like, that guy was an amazing, amazing college basketball player.
He was a great college player.
And I hated him.
As well,
and then loved him when you found out how much he hated Leitner.
Yes. Yep. He and Leitner.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break when we come back.
Flat Earthers, and you are right, by the way. Jay Williams and Bobby Hurley, Flat Earthers, being from Duke and all. I didn't know. Like, what? Kyrie thinks the Earth is flat.
Kyrie.
Oh.
Yeah, Kyrie and Shaq.
You don't know this either?
Huh?
Does everybody from Shaq has backed him up on it?
Well, I mean,
with Shaq. Shaq, every position Shaq takes in his life is meant to entertain you.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I don't stop with Shaq.
I've driven from New York to California, man. It's flat.
Gary Braun.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Gary Braun, right on. Mike Poplawski was driving 5 minutes behind. Hurley was first on the scene to render immediate aid.
Yeah,
His SUV was broadsided by a station wagon, and he was not wearing a seatbelt
and was thrown from it.
That's exactly right.
Thrown from it.
That's right.
And on that note, Richard Justice, when we return, I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Okay, this is a new sponsor for us.
It's exciting.
This is Texture. We've not had this before, and the copy, the words are very small, so I may stumble a little bit. But I'll read the copy. Wouldn't it be great to be able to read all of your favorite magazines at a moment's notice? Introducing Texture, the app that lets you read all the latest news and culture magazines like Vanity Fair, New York Magazine, Interview, and tons more right on your tablet or phone anytime, anywhere. The Texture app has gone beyond delivering just the magazine itself. They've made it easy to find and enjoy the articles you want to read with daily recommendations, exclusive interactive features, videos, and more. Texture makes magazines easy, and there are so many great ones out there. And you can, I mean, it doesn't matter what I say. I assume they have access to all magazines.
Sure.
So if I said Sports Illustrated,
boom,
or if I said,
yes,
you
Time,
know, Entertainment Weekly, Newsweek, or something like
got
that.
Him.
I did not give this to you, but it is a 3-page list.
I don't
of
want to
read it.
Yeah, give him a copy. Just read all, right. just the first 2 pages. Read.
Right. Well, People, Better Homes and Gardens, Golf Digest, Golf Magazine, things like
that. You know who would be a great spokesperson for this is Sarah Palin, who famously told Katie Couric she reads all of them.
She reads all of them.
So this would be great for that.
Texture is searchable. You can mark what you like, check out back issues, view bonus video content. They even curate articles and magazines just for you or whoever you're giving Texture to this year. Texture is normally $9.99 a month, and you get over 200 magazines, as Nigel can attest because he had the list. But if you sign up right now at texture.com/Tony, you get a 14-day free trial. Why subscribe to just a couple of magazines when you can have all of your favorites on your smartphone or tablet all the time for way less? Plus, Texture was selected as one of Apple's top 2016 iPad apps. So start your free trial now and download the Texture app. Right now, Texture is offering listeners to this fine you know what? Everybody calls these things pods now, not podcasts.
It's pods?
So I'm going to call them a fine pod, my fine pod.
Okay.
You get a 14-day free trial
underpants
when you go to Texture, TEXTURE.com/Tony. That's 14 days to try Texture for free when you go to Texture.com/Tony. And one more time. They do this a lot. They want you to say it, you know, like I understand I'm a live read monkey, but, you know, enough.
Dance.
You know, Texture.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Sounds like Highwayman a little bit at the beginning.
This is Jeremy Anderson from Minneapolis, Minnesota. The name of the band is Radical Chic. The name of the song is Where Did the Money Go?
Ooh, that should be the name of your restaurant.
Where Did the Money Go?
Yes.
What happened?
Where Did the Money Go is a concept endorsed by many people. Wanting to know. What was that great song by Robert Palmer? She's so fine, I can't tell you where
Simply
the money
irresistible.
Went.
Irresistible.
Yes. Yeah, I mean,
Big Bottoms.
Yeah, no, that wasn't Robert Palmer.
Different song.
Anyway, Jeremy Anderson, Minneapolis. Richard Justice of MLB.com joins us now. I have a lot of questions about a lot of things. I want to start, if I could, with the World Baseball Classic. And these are the most elementary questions. And I think that if you were speaking to a group of people in the United States of America, like me, who didn't even know the World Baseball Classic was on because of the NCAAs. You know, you would go, well, what is this and why is it scheduled now? So those are the easy questions, right?
Yep, those are the easy ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let me explain. You know, the World Baseball Classic started in 2006 when, after baseball got kicked out of the Olympics. Baseball was looking for a way to extend its reach around the world, and what would be a good way to do this? And so it was basically a tournament where you have players from each country. Why this time of year? Because really, I mean, I think the simple answer is there is no other time of year. You can't do it after the season. You can't ask players to ramp down and then ramp it back up during the season. While the NBA has taken a week off, and I saw Tom Verducci suggested baseball expand the All-Star game to a week every 4 years, I don't see that happening. So, and how has it evolved? Let me tell you this, Tony. I don't know how American players in general feel, but I know how the Puerto Ricans and the Dominicans and the Venezuelans feel. They take so much pride in putting that uniform up.
That seems on for obvious when you see them, yeah.
Like the Mariners sent 11 players to the World Baseball Classic. And in me, in talking to Felix Hernandez and Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, this was a huge thing. And the other thing, let me say, all the way back to Roger Clemens in 2006, every U.S. player that has participated in the tournament has loved it. I mean, love the experience. You see players in a different light, and you get to be teammates with new guys. The crowds are loud. One of the things I think everybody can take from it is when you go to, say, a Puerto Rico-Dominican game, and the crowd makes noise from first pitch to last, the players flip their bats, they have fun, they show emotion. I think we could all learn from that. And I'll say this. If you say, okay, I haven't seen any of the games.
Yeah.
This is what I've found. If you turn on the games, the games are so compelling that you can't turn them off. The games have been so great that it has just been must-watch TV. And I work for Major League Baseball, and I'm going to say it, but I'm telling you, when you see these guys come back and how much the catch Adam Jones made on Saturday night to bring a home run back into the field, it is pretty dang amazing.
And the atmosphere. I've just seen that highlight, and atmosphere seems unreal.
Every day on PTI, we have a couple of highlights that we are shown, and I agree with this completely. I would just say that if you want, and maybe if you're Major League Baseball, maybe you're not trying to sell it to the United States. Maybe you're not. No,
they definitely are. Well, but I think – go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just going to say that it has the feel to me of World Cup in the sense that it's not something, I mean, we participate in it. We don't really have any hope of winning it. We don't galvanize a lot of attention around it. And yet all the other countries in the world, it is the most important thing in the world. I can watch these highlights and know that in the other countries other than the United States, this is a really big deal. And it may very well be a really big deal to the United States players, as you're suggesting, all the way back to Roger Clemens. But you can't sell this to an American audience in this time period. And that's all I'm saying. This is the college basketball time period. It's inviolate. I don't know what you're doing. There's no solution.
I don't know how you get around that. You know, and I think when last time when the Puerto Ricans and the Dominicans played, it drew 50,000, and I think there was some number like 67% of the households in Puerto Rico had the game on.
Yeah,
they had it at a stadium in the Dominican, sold every seat. So it's a cool thing. And just me knowing these guys, Cano and Nelly Cruz and King Felix, those guys, they are into it. And I think, you know, the Americans say, we're every bit as emotional. But if you look in that dugout, what's happened with Hosmer and Adam Jones, it's the coolest thing in sports. They've become a team in this short amount of time. They love each other and they trust each other. So, you know, beyond the whole marketing thing, I am in love with the World Baseball Classic, and I think the commissioner's committed to it.
So here is the question, the interesting question to me at this point, and we have to start with the Mark Cuban position. Mark Cuban doesn't want his players playing the Olympics. He says, I pay them an awful lot of money. I don't want them to be at best fatigued and at worst terribly injured for me. In baseball, all these guys are Major League Baseball players. In the Olympic basketball, you're talking about 12 guys. In this, it's got to be well over 100, right? Which has got to be hundreds. And has any owner taken that sort of position, or as Rob Manfred explained to everybody, we're going to do this, and we need your support to do this.
That's part of it. It's what's the greater good of the game. This is about growing the game internationally.
Yeah.
We're talking, hey, Tony, we're talking 2 weeks here. We're talking seven games that they play. I think the Americans will be playing their eighth or ninth game
tonight.
Yeah, it's not a lot. And look, what do they do at this time of year? They go play games. Now, there is more emotion in these games, and there's more on the line. You're playing real games. You're not just getting three at-bats and then hitting the golf course, nothing like that. It is different. But I think, look, everybody's going to be back in camp by the end of the week, and you got 10 days till the season starts. Is there a risk of injury? Yes. Are teams uncomfortable sending their pitchers there?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But this is something for the game.
I'm not even familiar. You mentioned Hosmer and Adam Jones. And I mean, these are very, very good players. These are all-star caliber players. Is the American team filled with great players or good players?
We focus so much on the fact that Clayton's not here. Clayton Kershaw's not in the game. That Mike Trout's not in the game. Team is loaded. Bozzi's, Hosmer. I mean, it's a loaded loaded game. You saw Tanner Roark last night. He's not a household name.
Four innings.
He pitched four. He was great. He was absolutely.
It
was uncomfortable the first game. Chris Archer took himself out after 40 pitches. That's the agreement he had with the Rays. And then went and threw 17 more in the bullpen. I think people are thinking, hey, well, why couldn't you throw those last 17 in the game? But with every manager, what Jim Leland will tell you and what the managers of the Puerto Rican, Dominicans, et cetera, will tell you is, hey, look, I'm taking these guys and I'm going to return them. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to return them. I'm not going to risk getting anybody hurt.
Yeah, that's what my question was, especially with the pitchers, are there agreements that nobody's going seven or eight, that we're not going to do that to them?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a pitch limit, like I think 40 pitches the first, maybe 50 the first game, 60, 70, something like that. Okay. So they've tried to, hey, look, Joe Torre is the guy. They've tried to do the best they can to protect their players. There is a risk of injury.
Yeah. I mean, but there's a risk of injury at a spring training game. I mean, there really is. There's a risk of a lot of different
Yankees
things.
Have lost their shortstop for a month or so.
Gregorius.
Gregorius. And look, could he have gotten hurt in Tampa, Florida? Of course he could. There is a risk in this thing. Nothing's perfect. But, I think the one thing I notice in clubhouses is when the game's on, and players are absolutely glued to the TV set. And it just looks to me like I love seeing these guys in other uniforms with new teammates, Carlos Correa, Francisco Lindor, these guys that we all admire so much on another level, to see them in this setting, I like it.
From your perspective, as somebody who is paid to analyze baseball and report on baseball, does it make it harder to get a sense of which teams are going to be good in the regular Major League Baseball season because they have not been fully together, because they have to reintegrate certain players into the teams?
I think it does. And, teams look for cohesiveness. People think play that down in baseball, but I don't think that's part. I think it's a big part of it. So when you have your main guys out, like to me it was odd. Saturday it was in the Orioles clubhouse and Adam Jones wasn't there. Well, he's the main guy.
Yeah,
I mean, he's the guy around which everything rotates. So you got to bring him back, get him back into the swing of things. But I think every team will tell you, hey, the first month we're always trying to figure out who we are, who we can count on, guys getting to trust each other, and all of that. That is a factor.
All right, I'll go to local interest for a second. The last time I looked, the Giants got a closer. The Yankees got a closer. I think the Cubs got a closer. And every day in the paper here, the same story is, don't worry about it. We're going to get a closer, but no, we don't have a closer right now. We talked about this yesterday off air. I'm one of those people that believes that you don't really need that guy till about August, and you can find that guy later in the season. Everybody always adds somebody mid-season or even later, but maybe I'm wrong about this, and maybe psychologically you need to hand the ball to somebody early in the season, and the Nats don't have that guy. How important is that?
It's important, but I would say they've done a great job of accumulating really good arms. So, when I look at the bullpen, it is a really deep bullpen. To go get Joe Blanton at the end, I mean, look at his numbers the last 2 years. They're as good as anybody in baseball. And Sean Kelly's done a good job when he's healthy. They go and bring these other guys in, these guys, non-roster guys, Gott, Nathan, those guys. But you can tell where they're headed with this, that this kid, this 23-year-old kid, Kota Glover, who throws 100 miles an hour or so, that's the guy they want to have the job. But I think at the end of the day, the bullpen's going to be fine. The question is, are all the starters going to stay healthy? I think when the season's over, we're going to say the bullpen was fine. They have enough quality arms. They're going to be good. Like, if they're going to play in October, we know that.
Yeah.
They're going to be back to October. In the last five seasons, only the Cardinals have won more games. And I was looking back in their postseason history today. You know, they played 14 games, lost 8 one-run games. I mean, it's amazing what's happened in the postseason. Game 5 twice, game 4 once, one-run games. But at the end of the day, if you've got Scherzer and you've got Strasburg ready to go and Roark and those guys, you got to be October ready, and that's the question about the Nationals. I think the bullpen, I don't worry about it. And if it becomes a problem, they have the prospects to go out and get. It's not going to be Zach Britton. Don't say that. I mean, those two teams, as Barry Saluga's pointed out, they don't do business with each other. But they'll find someone.
So you don't mind if I just point out that in all of these October games, Steven Strasburg has only played in one.
You've got to have your guys when you're ready to go. Now, something may still happen. John Wayne may come in and get the last two outs of game 5 again. You know, I mean, what Kershaw did was amazing. And, you know, they had a 6-0 lead in game 5 in 2012, and it got away. But I think this is what I admire about, you know, sports is that what do? You dust yourself off and you go try again.
That's right.
They've been really good the last five years.
That's right.
But they haven't done what they want to do.
Do you have a story about stolen merchandise for me? Do you have apropos of Tom Brady and the jerseys being found outside the borders of the United States of America? Do you have a story about that?
Yeah, 1986, the Astros and the Mets play a 16-inning playoff game in the Astrodome. It is a great game, a classic game. And John Feinstein and I are covering the game for the Washington Post. And we come back upstairs, and there's an odor in the press box. There's an odor of sour something. And I say, Junior, what is that odor? And I notice the front of his shirt is wet. And, you know, stuff happens like that in those champagne celebrations. So I thought he just got doused.
Right.
He unbuttons the middle buttons of his shirt and pulls out a hat, a Mets hat. Jesse Orozco's champagne soda.
Fantastic.
If Jesse Orozco ever wants his hat, I know where it is.
So fantastic.
Junior Ortega.
Yeah, it's just so,
so good.
Such a good story. We'll have to try to confirm that with John.
Oh, all right. We will proudly confirm it.
Thank you, Richie.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon. Richard Justice, boys and girls. It's always great to have him on. We will take a break. We'll come back with some news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find qualified and quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Eric French of Frederick, Maryland. The name of this tune is Jill's in London. This is a sort of
a techno
pleasant
beat.
Yeah.
It sounds a little like the Squeeze, you know, from
back
in the
day. A little bit. Yaz feel to it.
Yaz Karl Yastrzemski?
Yes. No, like of Upstairs at Eric's fame.
You didn't know that Yaz toured as a solo act?
No, I didn't know that.
That's great.
He's phenomenal.
Michael, if other people want to send us their music, how do they do it?
If they've not heard yet, they can send it to jingles@tonycornheiser.com.
And pleasant. If they want to buy some gear because they're either cold or they're hot
Koozie.
Or they want to buy things,
they're
how would they do
they're
that?
Cold. Yeah. They can go to shop.tonycornheiser.com.
Still a couple great. Weeks of March Madness left.
Absolutely.
So you can buy
if
a pint
bracket
glass.
Is well, busted, look yeah. for that pint
or,
glass.
Yeah, or this bracket stinks t-shirt.
Nigel?
Yes, we have some news, Mr. Tony. And talk about the Wizards. They're very good when John Wall and Bradley Beal score over 20 points, which they do most of the time.
Well, they average over 20.
Yes, yeah. Both of them do. In 70 games, they've combined to score fewer than 70 points, both but in the same game only 7 times, and the Wizards just 2-5 in those games.
Okay, fewer than 40 points, not 70 points.
Well, I'm
in
sorry.
In 70 games.
In 70 games, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
This I want to bring this up only because of this. This the writer is making the point that when they don't get 40, when they don't get 20 each, the Wizards are 2-5. I am surprised they're not 0-7.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they don't have anybody else. Before they got Bogdanovich, the only person they had capable of scoring 20 points was Otto Porter, who didn't do it very often. But he was capable of it.
OPJ.
You know, but I'm stunned they're not 0-7. Their entire offense is Wall and yeah. Beal.
I'm stunned that it's a story. I mean, the headline is when the two leading scorers combine for less than their average— The team
you
loses.
Usually
I mean,
lose.
That's going to apply to every yeah. team in the league. Yeah.
What else?
League.
Cam Newton is going to have surgery on March 30th to repair a partially torn rotator cuff on his throwing shoulder. He will miss his offseason workouts, but is expected to be ready for the start of training camp in late July.
I'm not a doctor. Everyone knows that. I was an English major.
Not yet.
But if you are a quarterback and you're right shoulder where you throw the ball
doesn't work
and you need an operation and you're going to miss 4 months but you're going to be just fine for the season, no not necessarily. You are not necessarily going to be just fine for the season.
All in for day one.
You have a rotator cuff
right.
Am I right on this?
I would agree that you are right, and it's interesting. I just saw on the Twitterverse this morning some speculation of Colin Kaepernick
going there.
It would make sense. I mean, yeah. It beats Derek Anderson, you would think,
yeah.
in terms of style. But this actually
what
explains
took so long on this?
A question I had for some time, and that's how were the Redskins and their terrible defense able in Week 14 last year to hold Cam Newton to 300 yards and 2 touchdowns in a game they needed when a yeah. dead-in-the-water Panthers team came to FedEx Field?
That's
and now I understand why. He was obviously hurt.
Yeah.
How when, else could you do that?
It's We're in mid to late March now. What yeah. took so long on
that? That's a Shaq move, bro.
It is. Yeah. I'm going to work it out on my own.
No, Shaq move would be to wait till the first
day
game
of training
of the
camp.
Season. And then just say you can pay me now and I'll play for you later. What else?
The Castles, Mr. Tony. They have added local tennis prodigy Francis Tiafoe.
I think for people who don't live in Washington, you need to explain who the Washington Castles are.
Yeah. Oh, the Washington Castles are the world team tennis team. They're
Castles
DC zone.
Yeah, Castles
zone.
The K. Yeah,
Castles
DC zone. And they're quite good. They win their league all the time. So
what league is that?
The World
Team Tennis League.
Thank you.
The season lasts a week and a half or something like that. And I've gone to games and I have said I had great fun.
Yes, I've
gone to games at Smith Center at George Washington University and I've had great fun.
Yeah.
Francis Tiafoe is, you know, a very good tennis player, turned pro at a very young age, 17 or something like that. And he's local here. He grew up, I think, in College Park. There's a statement released by the team in his name. I find this statement utterly unbelievable in every way. This is what it is. Growing up in D.C., I always supported the Castles and owner Mark Ein. It's an honor to play on the same team as some of the best players in the history of the game. I really can't wait to get out there and compete this summer. I don't think that Francis Tiafoe had ever heard of the Washington Castles.
He always loved the Washington
Castles.
I'm
certain, and I know Mark Ein, and I'm saying this as a friend, I'm certain he's never heard of Mark Ein until recently when they signed him and stuff like that. This is when words are ascribed to people in releases, they're not true. Right? Do you believe any of that?
No.
I'm sure he's happy to play. Yeah. I'm sure he's happy to play, but the notion, I mean, most people in cities where there are world team tennis franchises, 95% of the people
unaware.
In cities have no idea it exists.
Right.
They have no idea it exists.
I know it exists because of this show.
Yes.
If I wasn't on this
because
show.
Because they gave me a warm-up.
Keep Dreaming letter
made me happy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, no.
And I love them, and I hope they do very
I'll
well.
I'll offer a dissenting opinion and say as a phenom from a young age in the area, he was probably aware of the castle.
You think so?
Sure. Yeah.
He's probably
Ein, no. Castles, yes.
That's probably right. That's probably right.
We like Mark.
Yeah. I mean, he certainly, I doubt it was his lifelong dream to play for the Castles. It was probably to be number one on the pro tennis tour, but, you know.
Tomato, tomato.
Right.
Yeah. What else you got?
Mr. Tony, melancholy happy trails to Jerry Krause, who was the architect of those great Bulls teams in
big
the 90s.
Big guy.
And as you pointed out,
big guy.
Was a great eye of talent. In two different sports.
Worked for the White Sox as a talent scout, worked for the Bulls as a talent scout. Two different professional sports. Got lots of work in baseball, got lots of work in basketball. Was pilloried by Michael Jordan on a regular basis because he made the comment that organizations win championships, and Jordan went nuts about this because Jordan believes, and rightfully so, that players win championships. But what is true is that a combination of both is what necessarily wins championships. Though if you have Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan should get the overwhelming credit. And so like Jerry Krause would be introduced to the crowd in Chicago
and
he'd get booed.
Yeah.
He'd get booed all the time. But he was really important in Chicago. Really important. So
did people sort of blame him for the final breakup that said, you know, was it conflict between him and Phil?
Know.
Or was that all just sort of
he hired Phil Jackson.
He did.
He hired him from the Albany Patroons. A minor league in the East, the Eastern League, made him an assistant to Doug Collins. When Doug Collins was fired, they went right to Phil Jackson, and how'd that work out? He drafted Scottie Pippen out of, I believe, Central Arkansas.
I think that's correct.
You know, nobody knew who Scottie Pippen was. He drafted Horace Grant. I mean,
cool coach.
He gave Michael Jordan stuff around him.
Yes.
He did all that, and he has not gotten the credit he deserves. Can I mention that Chuck Barris died?
Yes.
Yes.
Chuck Barris. We talked about him just the other day, it seemed to me.
Well, because Chuck Berry, we talked about it on Monday with Chuck Berry's passing.
That's right.
Yeah. Nigel made
Chuck
a joke about
Barris
Chuck Barris.
Was,
inappropriate.
Was
by the way.
Older
dying
than
Chuck
I
Barris.
Really inappropriate by Nigel.
To the hashtag failing at the time, Chuck Barris.
He was older than I thought. He was in his deep 80s.
87. Yeah.
He was in his deep 80s. He put all those game shows on TV, the dating game, the newlywed game, all of that
Gong
stuff.
Show.
And the Gong Show, which was the campiest, cool. I mean, you can only watch it for 10 minutes.
Right.
You
had to I get
stop.
It.
But it was great.
Right. It's like, right. I get it.
It was great.
Right.
And the fascinating thing, I learned one thing today in the obituary on the Today Show, which also preceded
Tomb. Jesus' tomb uncovered.
Yeah, that's right.
Chuck Barris said something about Jesus.
Right? He wrote Palisades Park by Freddie Cannon.
Yes.
He wrote Palisades Park. I had absolutely no idea he did that. And as we discussed the other day briefly, there is a movie out starring Sam Rockwell as Chuck Barris called Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, in which Chuck Barris purports to have been a paid and trained assassin for the CIA.
Same. Yes.
Do we believe any of that?
I believe that movie was out starring Sam Rockwell.
Right. It's a pretty good movie.
Pretty good movie. Yeah. Right.
It's a pretty good movie.
A little bit crazy.
I feel like I'm much more open to conspiracy theory believing now. Like I guess I can believe
he
that.
He was on the spectrum, I think, Chuck Barris, right? A little bit crazy.
Seemed a little bit crazy, but
crazy genius.
Yes.
He made a lot of money for a lot of years.
Oh yeah.
Matt Lauer was saying
earned
today,
a lot of money.
Matt Lauer said that in recent past, within the last 5 or 6 years, he'd been living in the south of France, and Lauer hung out with him for a few days in the south
Sweet.
Of France and found him very entertaining.
I guess Lauer deems him worthy.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. Is that it?
I've got one more story for you here. There is a problem, a crisis, if you will, in Beijing at the Temple of Heaven Park.
Oh, sure.
It's a public park, and the restrooms apparently have been plagued by toilet paper thieves. They come in there, they steal the toilet paper.
Why?
It's a precious commodity in China, I guess. And so what China has done, they've racked their brains to try and come up with a solution. They now have facial recognition software. So when you go into the stall, you have to stand there for a few seconds in front of this machine. It registers your face, and then it spits out exactly 2 feet of toilet paper. And that's what you're supposed to use.
Feet.
If that's not enough, and you try and go back to use it again, it says, sorry, you've got to wait 9 minutes.
Oh. Wait, can I?
Wow.
I want to just go.
That's a long wait.
Better have a charge on your phone.
I want to go back over one thing.
Okay.
When it says it's facial recognition, do you have to register for that beforehand? What does that mean?
It means it'll read your face and say, okay, you're...
Seems like a violation of privacy. Could they do like an anus recognition software?
Oh, yeah. Now, that seems would be fine.
Right.
Seems much better.
Just
but I guess
cut
it just,
that out.
It, what it does is so you can't just continue...
Not making the show.
That's not going to be it. No. I'm just going to unleash a...
Because anus?
Can I unleash a string of expletives now?
No, just...
I've been waiting to do that for quite some
we're
time.
We're going to cut that. What else? I think we're done.
Can I talk about a bunch of people I hate that we cut out?
I think we're done. Okay. We will have Old Guy Radio when we return. I may tell you about my shopping spree in Delaware.
I've been waiting for this story for 3 days.
Glove Radio.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Nature Box read. We've done this a few times. Not many, but a few. What do you do when you want a snack, but all you can find is junk food? You rely on your self-control to resist the temptation? Please, you eat the junk food. Start snacking healthy with Nature Box. Nature Box makes snacks that actually taste great and are better for you, created with high-quality ingredients that are free from artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, so you can feel great about snacking. Nature Box recently made their service even better. Now you can order as much as you want, as often as you want, with no minimum purchase required, and you can cancel anytime. It's simple. Go to naturebox.com and check out their snack catalog. There are over 100 snacks to choose from, and they're constantly adding delicious new snacks. Choose the snacks you want, and they'll deliver them right to your door. With Nature Box, you'll never get bored. There are new snacks each month inspired by real customer feedback, and if you ever try a snack you don't like, Nature Box will replace it for free. We've got some nuts at home.
So which Nature ones Box were nuts. You deciding between? The jalapeno and...
And the sriracha.
What was it again?
Sriracha.
Again?
I don't think there's a W. I think it's a...
You mean
sriracha?
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 Whatever.
Yeah. The cashews. Right,
I think I took them both, the cashews. Nuts.
Do you like that? And do you do the spicy? You like the sriracha?
Yeah, not as much as others do. I mean, when you know, when you get old, you lose all taste buds. So,
so you need
really,
something to jump
taste
start
like
in.
Are you saying? Are you trying to sound cool? Like you lose all taste buds?
No,
you like
you
like to refer to
lose
guys as
taste,
sport,
man.
Buddy.
Right now, you'll save even more. Nature Box is offering our fans. I don't know if we have fans. Offering our listeners anyway. 50% of your
people
first order
to the show.
When you go to naturebox.com/Tony K. That's NatureBox, NatureBox, naturebox.com/Tony K for 50% off your first order. naturebox.com/Tony K.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's only Wednesday. We got enough Chuck Berry to last this week and next week. We certainly have enough for this week. This is Johnny B. Goode. This is the classic Chuck Berry song.
This Marty riff McFly. Is amazing.
Nigel has some new information on this in terms of critical commentary.
Yes.
It seems to be borrowed.
Well, apparently there's a song by Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five.
Who we don't know at all.
Which
who are not on the Mount Rushmore of rock and roll.
No, and he wrote a woman, I think it was in 1948. It was called Ain't That Just Like a Woman.
Doesn't matter.
And
so Bob Dylan stole that title.
And it's note for note, the that signature guitar.
Is it as good as this?
No. And Chuck Berry takes this and makes it his own.
Do you know why it's not as good as this? Because nothing is as good as this.
This is as great
this
as this
is it.
Yes.
What
year did this come out?
1958.
He wrote it in 55 and 58, 57,
this is the masterpiece. I will tell you from a small personal story. A couple of years back, we had Dave Barry on the show, and he was hysterically funny, just great. And he talked about how he's in a band. Dave Barry is in a band. He plays guitar in a band. Mitch Albom is in that band. Stephen King is in that band. Amy Tan is in that band. It's the Rock Bottom Remainders band. A bunch of writers do this. And they're very, very good. And Dave was talking about Gloria. And he said, you can throw a guitar on the ground and it will start to play Gloria. Well, the same is true of Johnny B. Goode. Not that you can throw a guitar on the ground. Everybody does Johnny B. Goode. So at a Super Bowl 30 years ago, it has to be 30 years ago, maybe more than that, I'm doing Johnny B. Goode. I mean, we get called up. There's a band at a Super Bowl party, and me and Mike Litwin, then of the Baltimore Sun,
And Alan Greenberg, the late Alan Greenberg, then of the Hartford Courant, and Scott Osler, then of the LA Times, and me and the great and fabulous Leslie Visser, we do Johnny B. Goode. And there are pictures of this. There are pictures of us singing.
Were you on lead vocal?
Thankfully, there's no. No, thankfully, there's no audio recording of it.
Before there phones just, could do that. Huh?
There are just still photos of us doing this, and it was
hey,
lovely.
Can I quickly tell a Chuck Berry story that a friend relayed that you guys will like? Josh DeLock, who was our music critic, the Post music critic for a long time, and is now an editor. We were talking about Chuck Berry after the show on Monday, and he said that he was at – this was 10 years ago. He was at a music festival, and he was hanging out backstage with the promoter of the music festival, and that Chuck Berry was set to play, and that Chuck Berry wanted his appearance fee up front
– In cash.
In cash.
Always in cash.
And so that the great. Guy was like, oh, ha-ha, like thought it was a joke. And no. then he was talking to Josh, and Josh was like – I think that's Chuck Berry getting in his car and driving away. Yeah. That's what happened.
Right.
Awesome. He drove away. Straight don't cash, homie.
Why wouldn't...
I mean, so you're Chuck great. Berry.
Why wouldn't you think that Chuck Berry would want that? It's amazing.
Hey, there's... Wait, he's getting in his car.
Yeah.
Just made me laugh. Great.
All right.
By the way, do you know... So we talked about the other day that his Johnny B. Goode is in the Voyager and out into the universe... Forever. Do you know a song that was supposed to be on that, and the group wanted it to be on that, but the record company wouldn't allow it? And that's Here Comes the Sun. The Beatles were like, oh, this is, well, yes, we'd love to. And EMI was like, no, we don't think it's a good idea. As if, like, people are going to rip them off on other planets and not get the marketing rights for it or
you
something.
You never know what's out there.
I suppose.
You just never know. So my shopping spree. Michael, you never played the message on the air, did you?
We talked about it.
No, I'm still looking into how we can share that.
Is this Glovegate?
Yeah, this is
Glovegate.
I lost a glove. So by the time last Thursday, I drove out to the after I did this show, we were off from PTI for 2 days. So I drove out to the beach, thinking that if I could get away from the snow on the golf course here, and there was snow and ice on golf courses here last Thursday, I could play out there. And it is true, I could play out there, and I did play out there, and the conditions were terrible. It was like in the low 40s and 40-mile-an-hour winds cart path only. But I did it. You know, I did it just because I did it. It doesn't really matter. I wanted to just get outside.
Did it for the kids.
Cart path only doesn't apply to you. You drive the cart where you want to.
No, it applies to me. Cart path only applies when you're a member. It applies.
I'll go where I want to go.
So by the time I got out there, I had found my glove.
Oh.
All right, I'd found my glove.
Where?
But in my mind, it's somewhere in the car.
Like fell in a crack there.
But in my mind now, I was committed to new gloves.
You made up your mind.
Sure. Even though.
It's like when you're done with a relationship.
Even though I not only had the set of gloves that I thought I had lost, but I also had my backup gloves.
Oh.
So I had two pair of gloves.
Everybody knows deep. You need a backup
but
to the backup
I was
when it comes
committed
to gloves.
Now. To buying gloves.
Yes.
This was going to be the centerpiece. Of
that's why you went to the beach.
Well, I went for another reason, too. I had minimums. I had
oh,
to,
right.
I had
to use them or lose
I had
them.
To draw down the minimums. Right. I didn't make it all the way, but I had to try to draw down the minimums. So that's fine. So I go out there, and as you know, in this area of southern Delaware, lower, slower Delaware, as they call it, there are a bunch of outlets shops, the Tanger outlet shops. There's three different pods of not podcasts, but pods of Tanger stores. It's a total, it's got to be well over 150 stores, right? It's got
three to four different malls of varying levels of quality
and class. And if you are driving north on one, the northernmost one on the left is the class.
Everyone knows the Tangers, right? Okay, you got the Liz Claiborne, you got the Ann Taylor, you got the Nike,
you got everything. So I was going to go get gloves. I was going to go get gloves, and I was going to go. The two places I was going to go first were Coach, which I was sure, since they do leather goods, were going to have gloves.
Good leather.
And then Cole Haan, where they sell shoes,
sure.
where I thought they might have gloves, because they often have belts and things like that.
Yeah.
So gloves, I go belts. To Coach to look for gloves, and the people at Coach say we don't, you know, there used to be two Coach stores. On the northern side of this particular mall, there was the Coach for women, and on the southern side of this particular mall was the Coach for men, and it was Coach for men. That
What even is in the coach for men?
Belts,
how do they fill a store?
Bags. Like, yeah. You know.
Man purses.
Man purse. Yeah. Mine
shoes,
is a coach.
Also sweaters.
Wallets.
Also stuff like that. So in any case, well, of course, yours is a coach.
Yeah. I mean.
What else would you have from the Loomis Chafee School for the Rich?
I don't want to get the pour on my hand.
Yeah. So anyway, so I go and I stop first on the northern one and I say, you probably don't have them here. I assume you have the gloves on the other side. And they said, that store doesn't exist anymore. Everything we have is here. I said, you have gloves? And they go, we do not have men's gloves. Okay, so now I'm down to Cole Haan, which is okay. It's okay. I go into Cole Haan.
It's a long shot, though.
They have gloves.
Oh, right.
I begin to try on. I find a pair of gloves that fit. And I notice in the window it said 70% off. It says 70% off selected merchandise.
Right.
So I buy the gloves. There's a part of me which doesn't want to buy the gloves because it's my third set of gloves now. Mm.
Right. What
and
are you?
I will tell you how I solved that problem. I literally threw out the gloves that I found.
Problem solved.
The glove that I found, these were really worn gloves.
Your starters. These were your starters.
Long period of time. These were things I'd fallen in the mud in. I never got the mud off the gloves. I bagged them. I threw them out. They were not isotoners. Right. I threw them out. So now I'm down to two. So I buy this pair of gloves.
Did you say the sign says $9.99?
This is a big number.
Exactly. You need Mary Ellen Solicitor to come with you?
The gloves. It's a bigger number than I wanted to go for. Right. I'm going to tell you, it's a bigger number than I wanted
to go guess?
For. Although it's not a lot of money. Right. It is not a lot of money. You can't really spend a lot of money at those outlets.
No,
I mean, you really
$30 pair of gloves?
Wait. Are they all leather? Do they have fur inside?
I would say 150.
They have, do not have not fur. I don't want 60. Fur. Fur makes your hands sweat in terrible ways.
So I'm going to say 90.
Okay.
75.
You said 30.
I'm going to go 60. I didn't realize they were
no
all leather.
I'm going
well when Gary went 30, I shot him a look.
Yes, it's more than 30. More than 30.
I meant a hand. I meant per hand.
What
I didn't realize you were
30
about
30.
I said 150.
Okay, well, with the discount. See, the thing that's printed on the gloves is a number that is it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's
fake
a non
$2,800.
MSRP.
At failing Tanger Outlet said, because it's fake news.
It's a joke.
That's not
you are my fake dad news. Once got for me a Marlowe cashmere, looks like a flannel shirt. You've probably seen me wear it from a Ralph Lauren outlet that was marked at $1,200 that had been 50% off. To 600, to 300, to 150, to 75 bucks.
So you don't believe what's on it.
Saving
$1,200.
So I buy them.
$1,000.
It's 50. It's $50, and I buy them. Now I'm feeling not good. So I spent a little bit more than I want to spend, and I know I've got three pairs of gloves now, and I know I have to get rid of this. So the only thing I could do now, what else did I want to buy? Because I went out there. I think I may have said this. I have...
Sunglasses?
I had... No sunglasses again.
Shoes.
I stopped in the Bass outlet rather, and just grabbed a sweater for like $14. I had to have that because it's more. It doesn't even matter if it's only worth $12. It's a sweater for $14,
right.
And I
can't
always
let a bargain slide.
I always go to Brooks Brothers.
Checking
and Brooks
out for
Brothers,
the deck shoes in April.
Brooks Brothers had on the 60% off rack. They had corduroy pants, blue corduroy pants that I knew that I could wear to play golf in cold weather. Mm-hmm. Blue corduroy pants. 60% off, and I had a $20 coupon. So I walked out of that store with corduroys for like $17.
My issue, though, is you always buy pants, golf pants, from this particular outlet that are on sale because they've been sitting in the window.
Yes.
And they are sun stained.
They are. They're not
bleached
actually
out on one side.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's
right,
true.
Right.
My
faded.
Orange pants are always that way.
LLF, left leg faded.
This didn't have that, and I don't know that I'll ever wear them. But they were cheap enough that I was going
to
buy them. They're not golf pants.
And you
they're
like
corduroys.
To, you like to throw a little bit around. You don't want to just go in there and buy like one little thing. Like
that's
when
all
you
I
shop,
that's all
you
I
do
did.
Your thing.
But that's all I did. Yeah. I bought this one.
That's
little
it?
There, yes. Now,
but you'll spend.
Well, this is under $20 for Brooks Brothers corduroy pants.
Yeah,
whether
you have
I wear
to buy them
or not
have to buy
doesn't
them.
Even matter.
That's hand them down
deal.
To Michael.
So I've got the sweet. Yeah, why am I giving it to
that
my
kids? That to look forward to.
Okay, so now I have to go do the thing.
That and Chad's, baby.
Yeah. Now I have to. Now there's something I did come out there for, and I should explain this. I have in my house, or had in my house, I've thrown them out now because they have been replaced. I had three pair of jeans. One that I bought about 10 years ago that just doesn't, it's been worn a lot, and they just look lousy. Maybe I just look lousy, but they look lousy on me. And two more that I've gotten from the Vanity Fair outlet out there where you get jeans for $19.
Vanity Fair?
Well, that's just the name of the store.
I think
it's
that's
not
on
the
texture app for the magazine.
That's not the magazine.
Whoa.
And
I've never heard of that.
I've worn these for 6 or 8 years, and I wear them all the time. All the time. And they just, you know, it's time. Right. Like the bottoms are frayed. It's done. They're done. We're done with these things.
You can see in the back pocket where you keep the wallet.
I want to replace. So I go to Vanity Fair to replace. And I tried on 50 pair of jeans. Lee, Wrangler, whatever they had. I tried them on. And each one.
Bugle Boy.
Each one looked bad. I look bad. And I looked even worse. They were too big. They were like ballooning. They looked like mom jeans.
Old jeans like you're describing, you like the way they fit you. You know what I mean? They're comfortable.
They were no good at all for me. And not only that, it's that sizing issue where when you, like Brooks Brothers, when you buy 36s at Brooks Brothers, they're 36s. Right. They're tight on me. I can manage them, but they're tight. You buy 36s in jeans, they're 40s. Yeah. They're some fat slob can say, well, look at me, I'm a 36.
Right.
They are not 36. And so
Same size I've been since high school.
So the problem is when you try them on, you look them in the mirror, there's enough material.
Right.
There's enough material to tint your house. I mean, it's just there's too much.
I've worn 28s waist my whole life.
So I end up at a place where I know I can't get jeans. I cannot get them.
7-Eleven?
Calvin Klein.
Okay.
I cannot get them because,
nice
because
slim fit jeans.
When you're over, I'm way over 60 years old. When you're over 40 years old, you're just wishing and hoping when you go into Calvin Klein.
Yeah.
You can't do it. They're not made for you. I walked in there and I pulled two 36s off the rack. And I also, they're more expensive than I was going to spend.
Yeah, Calvin Klein, no.
They're more expensive. Even their discount, doesn't matter. You're going to spend more on Calvin Klein. I put two 36s off the rack. I was swimming in these things. A girl says to me, why don't you go down to 34? And I go, sweetheart, not in my life. Not ever. Are you trimming down?
No. This is why they can charge twice as much as the other place.
No.
Because they make you feel good about yourself.
Yeah, look at that.
I'm a 30.
What two?
34s.
Boom. They're not.
Boom. That's a junior 34.
They're not. These are not real 34s. You're not. Stop it. These are not real 34s.
But you like
now,
them.
It's a much better quality than what I was looking at.
Oh, yeah.
The problem for me is very obvious. The first time they're washed, they are 34s.
They'll fit the dog.
Yeah. Jesse now has jeans.
You cut them up, you make one pair out of the two.
Yeah.
And I sew them together.
Turn a pair into gloves and then throw out the pair of gloves you just bought.
So I end up, and now those were one
jean
of them.
Gloves are
one
all
of them
rage.
Which had been acid washed a number of times. What does that mean? They made lighter?
Yes.
Left in the sun window.
So that was like $60
washed
and the other was 40. Anyway, I bought a whole, and then I went to Eddie Bauer to buy one more pair of jeans to keep out there.
Oh.
Yeah.
To keep out there. Yeah, and they. Jeans. They don't fit any better than the ones I tossed out there. I went through a bloodletting of tossing clothes that I had worn for years and years and years. This is not like what women do when women say, it's a new season, I need new... No, this is decades of wearing clothes that I really liked, that I put them on and they felt really comfortable. And then I made the mistake of actually looking at myself. And I said, these are awful. They're just awful. You can't wear them. Get them out of here. And my total, that was not, and then I bought a bag. Now, the bag was a big number.
Yeah. The bag's nice.
Is
that the bag?
Yeah, at Wilson's house.
That is nice.
That was a big number.
You treat yourself to a nice bag.
That was marked down. That was like with your dad. That was marked at $1,200.
Right.
Okay. It's $100.
Nice. That's a nice bag.
Okay. Yeah. But it's
I love how they do that.
Because I had the bag I had for about 10 years and was literally falling apart. I mean, I don't know if all men are like, Wilbon is not like this, but I think most men
are.
If they like
it still
things,
works. They buy it for function.
Yes.
They're going to keep them forever
the
and
bag,
ever and ever.
My stuff.
Buy it once. You're like, I just check that off the list. Right. I don't have to buy it.
My shopping spree, not counting a bag, my shopping spree was somewhere around Andy Poley Land. It was somewhere around $200.
Andy Poley.
I bought a lot of different things.
You got jeans, you got a bag, you got
no, no, you know, the bag was not.
The bag is not part of it.
Over five bills retail.
I'm counting. That bag?
No, your shopping spree.
Your shopping spree.
You got a bargain. $14
sweater. I like to think so, but I also think that there's always somebody laughing at you in the store. Look at this dope coming in here thinking he's getting a deal.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. You know, because you're not getting a deal.
I assume people are laughing at you in every store.
Yeah, because...
I don't mean you. I mean me. They're mocking me.
If all they sold were all these heavily discounted things, they'd be out of business.
Yeah. Joseph A. Bank. 900 suits for the price of one.
Well, yeah. So, like, or else they wouldn't exist. That's how that works. So I didn't get that big a deal.
Man, go ahead.
Michael, do you have anything to say about my shopping spree?
No, this is, I've been waiting for this story for days. You started to tell me Sunday night at dinner and just laughed at me and said, no,
I'll wait.
Yeah. You'll wait and hear it at the same time.
I'm proud of the receipts. I'm so proud of the receipts. I have circled the price.
Because it's such a deal.
Boom, yeah. Score.
So I offended you because you showed me this bag and I guessed that the bag was $45. Because I had built in all of the coupons, discounts, fake prices.
Well, what bothered me was when I got home to my house here and I found a circular had been sent with a 25%, four different 25% off single items anywhere in the Tanger outlets. I could have crushed
it. Go back with the receipt. They'll honor it.
I'm not going back.
Could have bought another pair of gloves.
It's only a three-hour drive.
I was so close.
Save another $7. That's like six gas bills. Yep.
I do admire, despite your vast wealth, that you're like, I spent $200.
I was happy.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, why wouldn't you do that?
Michael's happy too.
He didn't accumulate this wealth spending it freely, Chris.
It's a
lesson
point.
you could learn from.
My Lamborghini doesn't. It needs a pair.
What I believe to be high quality merchandise.
Yeah,
and I got for what I believe to be a good number. Yeah. So you know that's what I did. All right, that's it. I don't have anything else. We'll have email.
That's pretty
when we
good.
Return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Michael, I'm just calling you my son. Let you know I had two gloves, but now I just have one. Don't know where it went. It was here and then it was gone. This is what you have to look forward to once you're old and orange. There is only one solution to this mess that I'm in. Tell your mother I'm headed off to Delaware again. I'm going to hit those Alamos and drop a few Benjamins. Sure, I'll lose those two gloves by next fall. But why do I care when it's just your inheritance?
Andrew Price in Marietta, Georgia. Just a lovely, lovely too. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Richard Justice of MLB.com for coming on with us today. I'd also like to thank our sponsors today, Texture, ZipRecruiter, and NatureBox. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Let's go to the
voicemails would make great jingle material.
They probably
would. Yes, they would.
I didn't call yesterday. Because I'm
I noticed.
He's taping me.
Well, you're leaving messages.
From Dwayne Coleman.
Taping you.
Doug Collins getting emotional over his son's success was a great story over the weekend. I wonder if you ever had a moment like that with Michael. I assume yes.
Except when he rode the pony.
Yes.
You were laughing.
Your tears were from laughter because you asked your 5-foot teenage son to ride a 3-foot pony.
There you go. Sorry. I didn't mean to steal the pony.
His legs are dragging on the ground.
From Mike from Burke, Virginia. Did I hear you say Seth Curry loathes Oklahoma City? Well, you can relate. You're the mayor of Jacksonville, right? I said Steph Curry.
Yes.
But it's okay. But I understand the sentiment here. Seth Curry probably likes Oklahoma City for all
time. Mike in Burke, Virginia, who does not hate you.
He likes you. He hates me.
Well,
I mean, it's not an uncommon feeling.
David Burke in Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. I was watching the final round of the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Right after Mark Leishman hit his chip shot onto the 18th green, I heard a lechizerie on the TV broadcast. I laughed out loud and I thought, how great is that? Did anyone else hear the shout out or has this become commonplace now? Steve Sands texted me and said, do you know what happened? Did you hear what happened? And I was watching the NCAAs. I didn't hear it.
I had turned it off just before he got to the 18th, so
fantastic.
I missed it too.
Oh. It's fantastic. Always great. Happens. From Ron Flatter in Las Vegas, Nevada. And Ron Flatter, I believe, is Brent Musburger's producer on the new show.
Okay.
Says, was Pat Forty calling you from inside an iron lung? His heavy breathing sounded like something I might have heard on a 900 number at a cost of $5 for the first minute and $3 for each minute thereafter. From Michael Roberts in Taylor, Texas, I can describe my bracket in three letters, DFL. Run me over with a Subaru. from DJ Wagner in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Any truth to the rumor that your missing glove was found to be in possession of a certain Mexican journalist? No, I found it. It was just in my, it was just like right by my feet. And it led to this entire shopping spree.
Yeah.
They're gone now, those gloves.
Those gloves.
They crossed you one too many times.
I took all the clothes that I was throwing out. And most of these clothes were so old that I wouldn't even put them in a box. You know, for the people who need clothes.
Yeah.
Because they were just that old.
Too run down.
I literally put them in the garbage can in a nice bag, in a Calvin Klein bag, I might add, with the gloves on top. So if the garbage men... if they wanted them, that was fine with me. But I didn't. I honestly didn't think that it was...
even goodwill worthy.
After the rolls of quarters they got for Christmas, I'm sure they were looking forward to those used gloves.
Ooh, look.
Oh, so rolls of quarters is not
probably
good?
They're going to be throwing a Molotov cocktail your way sometimes.
From Andrew Vogel in Spokane, Washington. This may not be directed to me. Moving from failing Washington Post to failing CNN, kind of a lateral move, don't you think? I imagine it's akin to a basketball player leaving St. John's to transfer to Georgetown.
Wow.
Hashtag ghost programs. Hashtag
hashtag that's cold.
What's that guy's name?
Andrew Vogel in Spokane.
I'm coming for you, Vogel.
Yeah. From Chris McFarlane in Orangeville, Ontario. Wow, there's an Orangeville. Like to go there.
Yes.
How does Michael know his new appliances are truly elite? Are there statistics for it? Is it winning one Super Bowl? Is that enough to make them elite? Are the Kenmore people the only ones who say they are elite? Maybe they just had a great playoff run, and now people think these appliances are elite, even though most would rank them, say, 8 to 12 on best appliances.
We paid for the elite, and now we're suffering for the next 8 to 10 years.
Currently 13 Fahrenheit in Orangeville, Ontario.
Forrest Stillwell writes, it's a long time, I'm a long time Little, rather, who was equally thrilled to find a coaching comrade Little in Coach Blakely at Kenyon, but also upset she beat me to the punch as the official team of the show. Growing up, my dad was a diehard sports talk radio listener. I could never relate until we both started listening to your show so long ago. It was back on XM Radio. It was and is one of our best father-son bonding moments. Upon hearing that Kenyon was now the allegedly official team, I had to stop writing the hypothetical emails in my head on my commute from Boston to Lowell, and all the license plate numbers lost their glory. I submit to you the Riverhawks as an official public school women's lacrosse team of the Tony Kornheiser Show, a brand new D1 team in the America East. We're on a program record win streak of 2 with the Binghamton Colonials in our sight. We're the Bearcats. Now, since we're a public school and on a public school no chocolate budget, I can only send in swag Under Armour gear and offer my recruiting advice to big-time brawn. I've worked at Bucknell, UConn, UML? What is UML?
UMass Lowell, maybe?
Okay, UMass Lowell.
Sure.
Recruit D.C. extensively. The recruiting world is crazy and stressful. Big Time can email me 24 hours a day with questions if we become the official D1 public team sponsor. See you, Chads, after the summer lacrosse tournaments, Forrest Stillwell. Well, the problem with that is he's in America East, where Binghamton...
I can't go against Binghamton.
No, I mean,
can't.
I'd love to, but I can't.
But I can reach out for recruiting advice.
You can reach out to
Forrest. My daughter now does have one game experience.
Breaking the mic.
Let's kill the mic.
He breaks the mic.
If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, do wear white.
And boom goes the dynamite. storm for me. I can hear the storm for me. God, the mountain is gone. Long day, grand sun. Who's been guiding me?